Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Can we lift our hands to heaven tonight and bless the name of the Lord? Give him the purest form of worship from your heart, and let everything within you bless him. He deserves all praise, all honor, and all glory. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. We bless you, Father. We honor your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshiped. Can we give the Lord a big, big hand tonight? Is that the best you can do, actually? Are you saying that's your best? Amen. Amen. Wow, bless God for streams of life. This is not a session to be missed during this conference. Powerful as always. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Now this evening, by the grace of God, I have the singular honor of bringing to the mic to bless us. I've prayed ahead of this session, knowing fully well that God has a word for me. Amen. In a moment, we'll be receiving from Pastor Miracle. Amen. I've said quite a few things yesterday. I don't intend to belabor on that. The spirit of wisdom is very strong on our life. Like I said, I prayed ahead of our session, knowing fully well that God has a word for me. And I know he has a word for you too. She is not just my wife. She is also the resident pastor of Sphere of Light Church, Abuja. And those of us in Abuja, we know what we receive per time. And if you have been following her from House of Blessica, she's a woman of the word and prayer. I found quite a few Christians, quite few, that can maintain a kind of routine, particularly with God. She's very, very intense. And I'd like for you to open your heart tonight, because it's going to rain. It's going to rain. With so much honor, with joy, with gladness, revelation in your spirit, with a loud ovation, let's welcome Pastor Miracle Fermi Lazarus.
God, a shout in the house this evening. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. I celebrate everyone under the sound of my voice. I celebrate all pastorate. I celebrate all ministers in the house. I celebrate all steward. I celebrate every one of you. Glory to God. And this evening, I celebrate my husband, my apostle, my personal coach, my sweetheart, my darling, my honey. Come on, is that how you celebrate? You know, sometimes when we are just alone, you know, and he looks at me and he's like, what are you thinking about? I tell him, I say, I'm giving thanks. Because truly, God has blessed me. And I'm praying for everyone here, every single person, whether you are engaged. If you are engaged and the relationship is not meant to be, it will scatter today. In fact, it must scatter. Why? Because you matter in God's agenda. And in this house, we are raising God's end time army. And it means that if you are an end time army, you can't marry anyhow. You cannot marry rubbish. So with this understanding, come on, celebrate Apostle for me. Come on, you're not doing this like you have a revelation. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for all you do for me. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this evening. Father, we'll say, be thou exalted, O God. Be thou magnified, O God. Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. I'm just a vessel. Nothing more. When you're done, please take your glory.
I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Take the stage, Lord, and have your way. Lord, I'm your vessel and nothing more. But when you're down, please say your glory.
Oh, Shataman,
I'm satisfied just to see you glorified.
Hallelujah. Have your seat as kings and priests that you are. And as you're sitting, I want you to celebrate yourself. Come on, celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourself like that person that knows that is coming into advancement. Celebrate yourself. Come on, celebrate yourself tonight. Glory to God. All right. Tonight, I'm going to be taking us on a journey. And I titled it, Let's Go Back to Eden. Let's go back to Eden. Thank you, Streams of Life. Please, you can have your seat. Please, let me celebrate them. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. I'm sure we all are familiar with the Garden of Eden, how that God created everything. And then he created man and placed them in the Garden of Eden. And we will see that everything they needed was there. Everything, they did not lack anything. Every supply, resource, every single thing they needed. And then in verse 10, it says, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four earth waters. It says four earth waters. Another version says four streams. And we can also say four rivers. And this signifies four seasons of the year. So there was water flowing in all seasons. Everything they needed was flowing in all seasons. It was not, oh, this season they had enough, and another season there was scarcity. No. everything they needed was more than enough in every season. There was provision in every season. There was resources in every season. There was nothing like we don't have or we are expecting to receive. No. Everything they had, they needed, they had it. That was the provision God made. That was the initial plan of God. That was how God wanted it to be. That was the plan God had. God wanted them to be there and just keep enjoying until something happened. Somebody said something happened. Come on, you didn't say that like you can hear me. Until something happened. In Genesis chapter 3. And we'll see how that the enemy deceived Eve. I don't want to go into that story. But we'll now see, starting from verse 14 to verse 17. And I want us to read it, you know. It's a long read, but I just want us to read it. And I'm reading here from NLT translation. It says, "So the Lord God said to the snake, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals.'" So when that happened, the first person God cursed was the animal that the enemy used. Now the devil, for whatever reason, chose snake to enter into so that he can do what he wanted to do. So God looked at the animal, snake, and cursed the animal. And he said to the animal, "You will crawl all on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life." So it means that before that time, the snake that me and you used to know was not crawling on its belly. Maybe it was, you know, walking like every other person, or maybe it had four legs. I don't know. But at that time, God caused the snake, which was the animal he chose to use. Are you following me tonight? Then God caused the animal. He said, "Cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life." Verse 15. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers." Now, verse 15 was not, when verse 15, God now began to curse the enemy, which was Satan. Verse 14, he started, the first part of verse 14, he started by cursing the serpent, which is the animal the devil used. Now, coming down to verse 15, he now cursed the enemy, which is Satan. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Now, the devil didn't understand this. In fact, it looked like mystery. And while Apostle was ministering few days ago, we said something that you can hear something. You can hear a prophetic word. You heard it. Maybe you even wrote it down, but you did not come into the understanding of that word. We're in a generation where, you know, a lot of prophetic words, you know, during, what's it called now? Oh my God. No, that's not what I was going to say. No, not crossover now. Politics. During election, we had different, you know, before the election, we had all kinds of prophetic words. You know, this one came, said this one. That. So people were waiting. And I'm sure you knew the drama that happened. And that after the whole thing, people started dragging. Let me not go into that, but get what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of times when you will get a prophetic word. A word has come to you. But when you are not truly coming in line with what God wants to happen, or when you've not come into the understanding of what is said to happen, it can even come to pass and you will not know that it has happened. So here, the devil heard it. He said to him, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers." He said, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Now, yeah, the enemy didn't know. He had no idea what God was talking about. But what God was talking about was Jesus. He said, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." That he there is an individual that represents mankind, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe and painful labor. You will give birth to children. Your desires will be to your husband, and you will rule. He will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Now let me go back to verse 15b again. It said, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now God declared here that Satan will always be enemy of mankind. Satan will always be enemy of mankind. So maybe you've thought before, maybe it's even a question in your heart, that why can't God just wake up one day and say to Satan, I am ready to forgive you. Now come now into my kingdom. No. It will forever be an enemy of mankind. Until Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Revelation 2 10. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. I need you to follow me closely tonight. Glory to God. So this will continue to happen until Revelation 2:10. It says, have no fear of the things which you will have to undergo. See, the evil one will send some of you into prison so that you may be put to test, and you will have great trouble for 10 days. But true till death, I will give you the crown of life. I will give you the crown of life. So until we come into that point of receiving the crown of life, there will always be an enmity between the children of God and the enemy. I want us to know something here also. It said between your offspring and hers. Between your offspring. Between the, you know, devil's offspring and hers. Meaning that between the devil and everybody that chooses to follow him. The devil and all his demonic, all his demons, all his... So there will always be enmity between us. It tells you that there is a war going on. Even if you don't feel it, even if it looks like everything is fine, there is a warfare that you need to fight. And it's not just about, you know, there's this religious mindset that people have. When we talk about warfare, they think that it's about, you know, village people. No, the devil can be on your finances. That he's saying that, no, you can't go beyond this level. Your fathers, you know, this is the limitation they had. You too must. And then you see yourself repeating patterns. You see yourself making the same decision over and over again. And you're not paying attention to see why you're making those decisions. You're not paying attention to really check what is going on with me. It is not just about village people. In fact, levels have changed. Because as it is now, even village people will not send you. If you like, say, they don't even have your time. They are too hungry. I'm telling you, they don't have your time. Most what is happening right now is the enemy within. Because God, the way God, oh my God, he has given you everything. Now you are born again. You are in Christ Jesus. When you allow the religious mentality that you grew up from, and unfortunately many of us grew up with these mentalities, if you allow it and you're not growing, you're not giving yourself to growth, you're not giving yourself to the study of the word, you're not giving yourself to prayer, and you just feel that, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, we're in the era of grace now. I can just, you know, God has done it all. Yes, I know God has done it all. Yes, I know you are a new man. Yes, I know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there is something you need to do. Life is not governed by miracles. It's governed by principles. That is why You will see those that are not even believers apply principles and come out with results. Meanwhile, you see Christians just staying there and just believing that it is all about fasting and praying. There are principles that you should apply. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So there is always a war. And it will not come to an end. It won't stop. For you, it might be your marital settlement. And it's looking like everything is, what is going on here? I'm not. Maybe as a lady, no man has even approached you before. The scripture says, the anointing will break the yoke. There's some things that you might say, you want to fast and pray. Yes, beautiful. But if you don't understand the key needed to open that door you are trying to open, you might be using the wrong key. Sometimes what you need is an instruction. You get the instruction, you follow it, and you're out. Sometimes it's a word, just one word from the Lord. Sometimes it's a principle that you just need to apply. I'm praying for somebody under the sound of my voice tonight. You will know that key needed. In the name of Jesus. So God declared that Satan will always be the enemy of mankind. It will always be. Glory to God. So let me go ahead and define what Eden means. You've been hearing Garden of Eden, Garden of Eden. What does it mean? What is the meaning of Eden? Eden means a delightful place. It means in a delightful place, a dwelling or a region. It means a state of great delight. It means a place of happiness. It means a place of bliss and contentment. It means a place of prosperity. Somebody say prosperity. It means a place of pleasure. So God created everything just so that it can be convenient. He looked at them so they, I just want them to be fine. I just want them to be okay. Let them just have everything they need. I just want them to be fine. So God placed them in a blissful place. He placed them in a place of prosperity. He placed them in a place of contentment and happiness. But unfortunately, we lost that with the first Adam. But Jesus came. Someone said Jesus came. God himself became man. Hakoraba. To die for you and I. Just so that you can have that relationship back with the Father. Eden is a place of prosperity. So what is prosperity? Prosperity means having sufficiency in all things. That you may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 18. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Prosperity means having sufficiency in all things. So it's not just about money. It's not just about riches. It's not just about, I just want to be fine. I just want to live a good life, you know. Ride the best of cars, wear the best of clothes, take care of my family, you know. And then die. No. Prosperity is not just about you. The scripture says, so that you might abound into every good works. It means that when God entrusts you with prosperity, he's expecting something from you. And the mistake we make most of the time is that we think that prosperity is about us. No. It's never about you. It's about what God expects from you. It's about about the advancement of his kingdom. When God placed Adam in the garden, what did he give him? An instruction. He says, nurture and keep the garden. He didn't just put Adam in that very beautiful place and say, just be enjoying, you don't need to do anything, just be there, you know, just be eating and drinking, you know, just be getting fat, you know, when you need water, my angels will bring water to you, just be, no! He gave him work to do. So God is entrusting you with prosperity so that you can abound to good works. Not just so that you can be fine. No, it is beyond you. That you will come to that point that nothing looks anything to you. No material thing looks like anything to you. You can give anything to the Lord. Another mistake we make is that when God is testing you with small things, you know, I've seen different WhatsApp situations where he's, God, just test me with 2 million naira. You know, where God should just flash me with 2 million. I'll be 10 million. You know, people post all kind of things. But the truth is that we experience tests every now and then. In fact, every time. That God has given to you something, it might be as small as your pair of shoe. And then he said to you, maybe it was all your savings. And then you got this fine shoe. You're like, thank you, Lord. Finally, I got this shoe. I'm going to rock it to church on Sunday. And then you heard that voice. Why don't you give it to? Give me a name. Sister Mary. And you're like, but Lord, you know, we had an agreement. You know, this shoe, I saved. We undergo tests every time. When you woke up in the morning, maybe the night before, you prepared a 40 row and correct. And your plan was to wake up and then, you know, just cook rice and John. And you just heard that voice. Why don't you fast today? We undergo tests every time. Every single time. When you're back from work and all you want to do is just rest. And you heard that voice. Why don't you just step out? And then speak to your neighbor about Jesus. And you're like, oh my God, I see him every day now. Let's do it tomorrow morning. You don't know that there's an emergency in the spirit over that person. We undergo tests every time. So don't think that, God should just flash me. God should just test me with this. No, he's testing you already. So the mistake we make most of the time is that because you are not passing your tests, and you expect that God will give a lot into your hands. No. He won't. Because you need to show yourself approved unto God. You should show yourself approved. That thing you're asking God for, are you sure you're truly ready for it? Do you know that there's some kind of sin that can never attach you if you're poor? Of course. And the apostle made a statement the other day that Cobham said, lust is not, I didn't even say it again, I'm trying to paraphrase. Lust is not a thing for a blind person. Because he can't see. He can't. So a lot of times you're asking God for something, but really, if that thing should come to you, it will swallow you up. It will. Why? Because you've not come to that level of growth to be able to handle it. God wants to trust you with so much. He wants to trust you with resources. Just so that you can advance his kingdom. So that you can stand as an apostle in the marketplace. So that you can do so much for humanity. I was speaking with the Abuja Church sometimes ago, and I told them, see, the problem of humanity is not that much. Go to a very big village. Tell them that you'll be feeding them morning, afternoon, and night. They will rush to Jesus. Give them scholarships. They will be glad. They will come to Jesus. But will you do that with paper? No! It's the money! prosperity. Maybe they've told you that once you are rich like this, you cannot enter heaven. Eh? Heaven is not for rich. Remember Lazarus? It's true. Don't allow the enemy to cheat you. Because even heaven is expensive. Oh my God. My God is not a poor God. Hiya. The description of heaven is so, the streets of gold. And it's not the type of gold that we see on earth. It does not look like a poor God to you. No. So he wants you to live a fulfilled life. God wants you to live a fulfilled life for his glory. There are some of advancement that you cannot come into if you're not truly fulfilling your destiny. I tell you, everybody is proud about people that are doing good. Let's say you graduated from a university now. I don't want to mention, I don't want to use a school for. Maybe I should. And then, you're doing so well. You will see that they will begin to invite you for conferences, for seminars, come and talk to her. It's because you're doing well. But if you're not, nobody will mention your name. So advancement, prosperity is so that the glory of the Lord made manifest in your life. It's not for your own use. God will bring you to that point that nothing means nothing to you. That you're not being carried away by your clothes. You're not being carried away by the type of cars. Yes, you will have those things, but they will not define you. You will have everything in sufficiency, but it won't define you. It won't define your person. That if something happens and they go now and decide, okay, I'm taking you to a new phase and I want you to start all over again, and it takes everything from you, you will still be you. That even when, wherever you are, maybe you've done so well there, and even in ministry, and God says it's time to move, you won't be afraid. Because everything you have on the outside is a result of what is going on your inside. So it is not an outside in thing. No. It's the inside out thing. What you have on your outside will tell what is going on the inside. Glory to God. I need to run. Kabaru Shatayaba. Let me say that to you. God identifies himself as a God of prosperity. He is completely distant from poverty. Completely. Let me give you an instance. Jesus was very wealthy. If he was not, the clothes he wore before crucifixion, the soldiers wouldn't have, they would have thought of trashing the clothes. But they did not. They carried the clothes and were like, this thing, they're expensive. What do we do? They carried the outer clothes or the garments, cut it into four, shared it among themselves. They now took the inner garments. They're like, this one, we can't cut this one. Oh, yeah, let's do monini. We will go with it. It was expensive, valuable. Jesus himself lived a good life. If it was not prosperous, it wouldn't feed 5,000. And I'm saying this because so that you can know that prosperity is not just about money. How did Jesus feed the 5,000? By thanksgiving. It takes a body of knowledge to come to that understanding that I can just carry this little and give thanks to the Lord and I'll feed 5,000. And not, there were more than 5,000. Because the scripture says 5,000 men, but we had women and children. And I'm sure they were animals too. God is not a poor God. Someone say, my God is not a poor God. No, doesn't associate with poverty. He wants his glory to be made manifest in your life. Let me give you another evidence. Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. In those days, donkeys are like jets of our days, because they are used by the wealthy, the rich people. You can't just own a donkey. Just like, no, not like today that, you know, people don't. It's like jets of these days. He rode a donkey. And that didn't happen by money. He gave an instruction. Go, tell them that I want to use the donkey. That is prosperity. That everywhere you go to, you have everything in sufficiency. The gifts of men, the gifts of money, the gifts of material things, spiritual gifts, you are loaded. That is prosperity. Prosperity on all grounds. In your health, prosperous. And there are principles that guide this thing. Irrespective of where we are in this country, I'm here to tell you tonight, you are not under the economy of this government. No, you didn't say that like you understand what I just said. You're not. The day I came to that understanding changed my life forever. I tell you, I'm not under the economy of this nation. No, I'm not. Everything I need comes to me. Yes. Yes, everything I need comes to me. True luxury is a healthy soul, a strong spirit, and a firm stamina. True luxury is a healthy soul, a wealthy soul. You can use healthy, wealthy. Healthy, wealthy soul, a strong spirit, and a firm stamina. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. You will prosper even as your soul prospereth. It means that there's a place of the prosperity of the soul. That what you see on the outside will be the result of what is going on your inside. And that cannot happen without a study of the word. Without prayer. Without being deliberate about what you're eating. Both spiritual food and physical food. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. This is not the age and time where you just feel that you're living anyhow. Everything goes. No. Many things that we experience is because we don't have the understanding in that area. I tell you, I was speaking with somebody. Then this person was complaining, you know. I think it was chest pain or something. Then I just said to her, I said, do you drink cold water? She said, yes, stop drinking cold water. That was just it. So everybody, we just feel that we can just do anything, you know. Because no, for you, some things are peculiar to you. A few months ago, the Lord told me, he said, stop this thing. I don't want to say it now because, you know, we are online. Stop this particular thing. I said, okay. And I didn't remember to tell Apostle, so it was a particular drink, so it was just that day we were in the car. And he said, ah, babe, take, let me finish it. I said, sorry, you know. He said, ah, what's going on? I said, I'm not drinking. He said, ah, you not tell me now. There are some things that are peculiar to you. Very peculiar to your body, your physical body, your soul, your spirit. There are some instructions that you must walk by if you're going to live long. If you're going to live long, don't let anybody deceive you. They tell you that, you know, the level our fathers are right now is because they don't sleep. Oh, you to now begin to pray, Lord, I want the grace to not be sleeping. You will just die young because you need sleep. I tell you, you need sleep. They tell you that, this level of power. But to enter this, and see, of course, you know the balance. I'm not against fasting and prayer. Of course, you know, we are a praying church, we are a fasting church. But get what I'm trying to tell you. They're telling you that, if you want to enter this level of power, you have to fast marathon, 100 days, without water, without food, and you still went on that. And on the 10th day, you ended up in the hospital. And you are vomiting blood. And, you know, all these things, they are wisdom to it. that did 100 days, they did not inform you that, okay, oh, it is fruit fast, though. Okay, the way we used to do it is that we used to drink water. Because we need water. It's not just you will not eat, you will not drink. There is wisdom. When you see, don't just carry things verbatim. Ask questions. Ask questions. Oh, you're doing this, your man, how are you doing it? Okay, who explained to you? Because I've seen a lot of time people end up destroying themselves because, of course, they're so zealous and all, but they're not applying wisdom to it. There was a time, you know, as the son of one of the prominent ministers, fathers in the body of Christ, said something that they've never seen their dad eat before. And I know there's a clause to that. He just said it, you know. He said it while talking. It didn't really, it was not the thing that he spent time talking about. And I'm sure that will have ended some marriages. Because you heard that, oh, the children of this person has never seen their father eat before. You did not say. A lot, many times you just carry things. You're not sitting to understand how it is done. And this is not just about family life alone. It's not just about, your health alone. Even your academics, in your career, you're trying to apply a principle. Learn it. How is it done? How am I supposed to go about this? Sometimes, see, understand that it is not all principles that are even that are meant for you. There are some that are peculiar to you because of the nature of your calling, because of the nature of your assignment. But you will be wrong if you carry that thing and make it a doctrine. I see a lot of things going on these days. You will see a minister of God come on the altar. If you're not fasting every day of your life, you're not a friend of God. It is beautiful. Maybe that is your own consecration. But don't make it a doctrine, because you destroy people. So when you're receiving a body of knowledge, sit down with it. Make sure you get the understanding. You're not just flying up and down, listening to every kind of message you receive, and then you now become confused. The scripture says they place solitaries in families. It's so that you can flourish, you can blossom, and His glory can be made manifest in your life. When you're jumping up and down, you don't blossom that way because you're not deeply rooted. It takes a tree that is deeply rooted to grow tall. If you're not deeply rooted, you can't grow tall. Be careful of the things you consume online. Somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed and decided to tweet, "Man has come. Marriage is rubbish. All these churches, blah, blah, blah." And you are there. 1 hour you're consuming all the rubbish. 2 hours you're still there. And unfortunately, you mistakenly liked. And that becomes the core value that people see with you. Now, let me say this about core values. Your core values are the standard of God. That is mainly so how it's supposed to be. You see something online that is against your core value, you don't like it. You don't repost. You don't comment. Don't say, it's just the person I like. Oh, it's just the gown that I saw. I just like the gown. No, it's not about Kiniko. Your friend is doing birthday, did photo shoot. Opened all her breasts. And you are preaching modest dressing. And this is that same picture that you posted on your WhatsApp status. Something that is directly against your core value. Why don't you post a picture where she's well dressed? Now, even if she does not have a picture where she's well dressed, you don't need to post. Just write the status there. Happy birthday, my darling. Your core values. Now, let me tell you this thing. See, it is not difficult to make wrong right. It is when all of us can stand on the truth. I tell fashion designers, don't say that, that is what they want. She came to your shop. I want this thing to be like this. You know, there's a story Pastor Lawrence shared. He went to, I think maybe he followed somebody to a fashion designer shop. And then there was this girl that knew him. So the girl came to collect her gown. So she collected the gown, was like, she didn't know how to say it in front of him that, madam, slit the slit was, you as a fashion designer, let them know. And how will you get there? By excellence. That there's no other like you. That when they want the excellent result, when they want it to be very good, they know that there's no other like you. They will come to you. Enough of mediocrity. Another thing that is going on right now is when they are pregnant and they are now posting pregnancy photo shoots. They will now open their like, I'm the one that truly carried this pregnancy, or nobody did. Rubbish. And you will carry that and post it, which is totally against your core value. We need to make sure that we are truly standing where we say we are standing. Because whether you like it or not, there is a war. There's an enmity between the enemy and us. So if you are standing, make sure that it is well known that you are standing. Make sure it is well known. Not that we are trying to guess, okay, I think she's a fervent Christian. Today she's posting, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tomorrow she's posting, oh, thank you, I just want to say hi to all my followers, your blah, 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 God bless you. And then the next thing we are seeing, a minister, a female minister, online ministry, the next thing we are seeing is her birthday, and she's exposing everything. God does not change. So don't think things are different now. You know, we are in the era of grace. Does that mean you should run mad? If you're going to truly disciple others, you have to truly stand. You have to truly be an example. I tell ladies, if you're coming out of your house and then you're asking people, let me check this gown. Is it too short? It means that it's short. Go back and change it. It means that there's something wrong with it. It means that there's something wrong in your character. Let people be able to say that, oh yes, she's a Christian. He's a Christian. They are telling you, talk too much. Pay attention to it. They said, I talk too much. Okay. Try. Pay attention to it. Let the Lord help you. You know that you are a gossip. All the news. You know everything. This celeb. This. You know that. You know what gossip does to you? It wastes your time. Because you're busy talking about the life of other people. And they've moved. They've gone ahead. Because you can only talk about the people that are doing something. And those that are talking about the people that are doing something are busy talking because that's what they are doing. So when people are talking about you, when you're here, it means that you're doing something. It means that you're doing something. It means that you're doing... Let's be serious. This is not... I know a lot is happening in this generation. And I don't even want to go deeper into many of the... You know. But please, make sure that you're truly nurturing yourself. Don't feed on social media. And you're just there, money tonight. You're not reading your Bible. You're not doing anything. And you're wondering why you're confused. You're wondering why your heart is filled with lust. You're wondering why you're not having a consistent prayer life. You're wondering why you're struggling with negative thoughts. Why won't you struggle? But you're not feeding your spirit. You're not feeding your soul. You're not nurturing yourself. Your spirit won't be strong even when adversity comes. When adversity comes, that is when we should know who you truly are. Your response to a situation will determine if you're a person of faith or not. Something happened. Hey, Mogbe. It means that is what, you know, there's this funny story. I think I've shared it many times. There was this very good Baba pastor of, you know, I don't want to mention the denomination so that it don't look like, you know, So Baba was sick. And then they've been begging Baba now. Let's go to the hospital so that he can be injected. So finally, Baba agreed. And they took Baba to the hospital. As the nurse injected Baba, guess what Baba shouted? Guess now. Talk now. You don't know. He shouted, "No. It is what he's eating. It is what is on the inside." The scripture says, out of the abundance, you with my mouth will speak. So if you truly want to know where you're standing, check your response to situations. Glory to God. Feed your spirit. Have a strong spirit. Feed not all your soul. Have a firm stamina. Firm stamina. We are not guessing who you are or where you are. We know, and God knows. Invest in your soul. How do you invest in your soul? Number one, you read the word. You read the word. Number two, you study the word. You don't just read, you study. You give yourself to it. Number three, you meditate on the word. How do you meditate on the word? You make sure that you're thinking about it. Let's say you read a scripture, a verse of the scripture, and then throughout the day, you're just meditating. Okay, so the Lord said this in this scripture. How do I apply it into my life? Okay, what does this line mean? You check and make research. Check different languages, transcription, check. Different translation. Number four, you confess the word. You confess it, you say it over and over again. You say it over and over again. Number five, you live the word. You live it. That we can truly see it in your lifestyle. Everyone can truly say that you are born again. Because these days, everybody is born again. We do a lot of evangelism in Abuja. When we go, like, ah, I'm born again. Ah, this one is born again. This one, and you look at this sister. It's not like, I'm thinking that this born again that you are saying is not, there's something. You are not born again. Thank you. You know, it's like, hey, you are not born. Everybody's born again now. You live the word on a daily. And you preach the word. Preach it. Don't keep quiet. Don't be silent about your faith. Let me go over that again. How do you invest in your soul? You read the word. You study the word. You meditate on the word. You confess the word. You live the word. And you preach the word. Glory to God. And let me also say this, that living is greater than preaching. Because when you live it, you minister more than when you preach. So the glory of God here, we don't just preach. What we preach is out of what we are living. So we don't prepare to just come and share the word. No. It is an outflow of our daily life. When you're living the word, you preach more to the world. They can reference to your life. I can't just see that person. They know that when they need results, they know the person to go to. But they need a person of integrity, they know the person to go to. But they need a firm Christian, they know the person to go to. The truth is that they are always looking for such people. Somebody put you over a business because it's a small shop. You refuse to show up every morning. And you know that this person is so busy that can't manage it herself. They put you in charge and you're doing nonsense. Small shop, you cannot manage. And yet you're praying that God should bless you. It is in managing other people's business that God will give you yours. That is service, a sense of service. You got a job, maybe as a teacher. So because they are paying you peanuts. See, it is not about the payment. It's about the work that you've been assigned for. Because these days, everything is about money. Everybody is talking that everything is about... See, if you keep pursuing money all the rest of your life, you won't amount to anything. Have you asked those that have gone ahead and did that? A lot of times, when you see somebody at their deathbed, most of the time what they regret doing is pursuing money all their life. And when you keep pursuing money, it becomes a god to you. So Lord, this generation, most people, their god is not the god that will serve. Their god is money. Because what they are pursuing money day and night is money, money, money. You hear things like, if the conversation does not have to do with money, don't bring me into it. Oh, everything is money, money, money. No. You read the word. You study the word. You meditate on the word. You confess the word. You live the word. And you preach the word. Glory to God. Lastly, as I round off, make sure you continually nurture yourself. Be kind to yourself. When you're not doing the things you're meant to do, you're not being kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Nurture your spirit. Make sure that you're growing. Make sure that you're giving yourself to knowledge. Apostle mentioned something. I'm just going to say it as a roundup. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. When you receive a word, it stands as wisdom. The application is knowledge. It means that you've received it and you are now applying it. The realm of understanding is that you're doing it over and over again. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes you. It has entered into you. And let me share this. You know, every time I think about wisdom and understanding and the realm of understanding and how that in you, you know, it has embodied you. I always remember when I was pregnant, Abigail, there was a day I was just craving Gary and I drank it so well. And I noticed that my sweat started smelling Gary. That was when I knew that, okay, it has. So when something embodies you, it becomes you. It becomes your being. You don't have any other reality aside that. It becomes who you are. I pray the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus. Can you just be upstanding this evening? Oh, thank you, Father. Mando Karabo Shetayabada. You're going to pray a prayer. I want you to say to the Lord, I come into a 5-star lifestyle. Now, a 5-star lifestyle is that lifestyle of Eden. I've defined what Eden is to you. A lifestyle of bliss. A lifestyle of prosperity. Come on, declare this. I come into the 5-star lifestyle. It means a place of excellence, a place of firm spirit, that you're not being tossed to and fro, but you stand firm, understanding who you are, understanding to whom you belong, understanding your assignment, your purpose, understanding your calling. Makoraba shayaba. Imbrande korabado sataya manekerebos. Mandiko baraku sataya mane makaba. Erakuba soto manama kayema dosata. Harako mene kura mane kura basataya meno. Echo da barabado sata da bada. We are receiving grace upon grace in the name of Jesus. Oh Rakaba, we are bound to all good works. We'll live a life according to the plan of God. Thank you, righteous Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Glory to God. If you have been blessed this evening, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.